Evan. Matthew Salinas. That's my name. That's who God calls me. He knows my name. He knows your name too, brothers and sisters. He knows who you are. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about connection and relationship. First of all, let me just read this really fast here. So Forrest Gump passed away. And then he arrived at the pearly gates and met St. Peter. True story. It's good to finally meet you, Forrest. I've heard so much about you. But unfortunately, we have been crowded lately and have created an admittance test. There are only 3 questions on the test, but you need to get them all right to get into heaven. Forrest replied, "Well, I ain't much good at questions, but I'll try." So St. Peter asked the first question. The first question is, how many days are in the week that start with the letter T, and what are they? Forrest thought for a couple minutes, and then he answered, "When the only answer I could think of is 2, today and tomorrow." St. Peter replied, "Well, I never thought of it that way, but I guess that's right." So St. Peter asked the next question, "How many seconds are in a year?" Forrest thought about 5 minutes, and then he said, "The only answer I could think of is 12. Peter said, "How can it be possible? 12? Forrest answered, "Well, January 2nd, February 2nd, March 2nd. Makes sense to me. Okay, the final question. What is God's first name? Well, Forrest pondered and pondered about that question and finally said, "It's Andy, sir." And Peter replied, "I can see how you got the other days and second answers, but how did you come up with Andy?" Forrest then replied in his song, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own." Okay. Run, Forrest, run. Okay. Back on track. I just had to get some nerves out, so shake it off. So relationship. Relationship is very important in the kingdom of God. There are many things that can keep us from pursuing relationship. For example, fear, pain, stress, anxiety, shame, rejection. These things can cause us to disconnect from people. Any one of these things can cause us to keep us from pursuing relationship and connection with people. We all have this need to fit in or feel like we belong, and we all have a need for connection. Let's see here. Don't give me a minute to get this going here. Everyone needs to be connected, accepted, enjoyed, to feel like they belong. We are created for family. Yes, even Lego Batman was. Did you see the new Lego Batman movie? It's really good. I actually like cried at the end. Literally. My boys are like, they left the room and I couldn't take my eyes off the screen. Yes, family, even Batman, because he isolated himself and he wouldn't let others help him. And throughout the movie, even Commissioner Gordon had to let Commissioner Gordon into his life, and he had to let Robin into his life and do things with other people instead of doing things on his own. He needed family. He needed a connection with other people. You have to believe that you are worthy of love and belonging. You have to find your tribe, find your people. Do not disconnect. Do not walk in condemnation, because that will keep you disconnected. In Romans, Paul talks about it. He says, "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." The therefore is therefore because if we back up, Paul is talking about his struggle with the flesh. He says, "I do what I don't want to do, but I want to do what's right." Because he's struggling back and forth with this flesh of sin, doing what he shouldn't be doing and doing what is right. And he says, "Therefore, dude, listen to me, Romans. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. God knows your struggle. He knows you have flesh. He knows that you are going to fight these things. But God looks at you and says, I don't condemn you. You condemn yourself. Don't do that. Paul is very clear about that. He makes that message clear. It doesn't say dude, though. I put that in there just to, by the way. Condemnation is the expression of a very strong disapproval. That's what condemnation means. God does not disapprove of your struggle. We all have struggles. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to be yourself. It's okay to be vulnerable, to be open, to be who you are, because we all have struggles. This book right here is amazing. This Keep Your Love On by Danny Silk. If you guys have read it, but it'll mess you up, man. It is so good. He even talks about that ladder of seniority when you get into the church, how the higher up you get in the church in the seniority ladder, the less you are willing to show your poop. That doesn't say that, but you know what I mean? Because people walk in and they think that, well, you get a promotion because now you're not struggling with this anymore. And now you're not struggling with this anymore, so you get the next promotion. The guy at the top, he doesn't have any struggles because he's perfect. And it can mess up the church. But that's not true. God knows you struggle, and we need to see that struggle in each other's lives. And even the guy at the top has struggles. But there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? We're going somewhere. So, fear. Fear will always be our biggest enemy because we know that love and fear cannot coexist. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So you do not have to fear. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry about that because you are in God's love, and they can't coexist. So if you're walking in his love, then you shouldn't fear because God has the best intentions for your life. He doesn't have you on a track of destruction. He has a track of perfection. We don't fall in love. We grow in love. It's a choice that we make. It's one of the things that God allows us to choose. You choose to grow in his love. You choose to walk that out. It's not just something that's just, we just get. We don't, like was that, I think it's Danny Silker, somebody said, if you fell into love, you're going to fall out of love. You have to grow in love. That's a good word. This is a quote from Danny Silk here. He says, fear and love are enemies. They come from two opposing kingdoms. Fear comes from the devil, who would like nothing more than to keep you permanently disconnected and isolated. Love comes from God, who is always working to heal and restore your connection with him and other people and bring you into healthy, life-giving relationships. Fear is your enemy, beloved. No fear. Let's see. I'm going to show this video clip. It's a TED Talk. Oh, by the way, you did a great job last week, Patrick, of being just open and vulnerable and just being you. And thank you for doing that because that was important to do that up front because a lot of people won't do that. And so that's kudos to you. And so I'm actually going to show a TED Talk because you talked about TED Talks. But I took a 15-minute video, and I tried to shrink it down to about 5 minutes. I might cut it short because of lack of time, but this is Brené Brown. I don't know if you've heard of her. She's a researcher, a social researcher, and she did this TED Talk a while ago, and it was like one of the number one TED Talks, and it was called The Power of Vulnerability. And I've listened to this thing like 100 times, man. It's like so good. She spent several years doing this research and she asked herself this one question. What is the one thing that humans have in common, no matter what their gender is, origin, country, ethnic group, personality, whatever? And she was trying to figure out what this one thing that everyone has in common is. And she comes up with this. So you might want to crank the volume.
Connection is why we're here.
So connection.
It's what gives purpose and meaning to our lives. This is what it's all about. It doesn't matter whether you talk to people who work in social justice and mental health and abuse and neglect. What we know is that connection, the ability to feel connected, is neurobiologically, that's how we're wired. It's why we're here. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to start with connection. Well, you know that situation where you get an evaluation from your boss and she tells you 37 things that you do really awesome and one thing that you can't, you know, an opportunity for growth. And all you can think about is that opportunity for growth, right? Well, apparently this is the way my work went as well, because when you ask people about love, they tell you about heartbreak. When you ask people about belonging, they'll tell you their most excruciating experiences of being excluded. And when you ask people about connection, the stories they told me were about disconnection. So very quickly, really about 6 weeks into this research, I ran into this unnamed thing that absolutely unraveled connection in a way that I didn't understand or had never seen. And so I pulled back out of the research and thought, I need to figure out what this is. And it turned out to be shame. And shame is really easily understood as the fear of disconnection. Is there something about me that if other people know it or see it, that I won't be worthy of connection? The things I can tell you about it, it's universal. We all have it. The only people who don't experience shame have no capacity for human empathy or connection. No one wants to talk about it, and the less you talk about it, the more you have it. What underpinned this shame, this I'm not good enough, which we all know that feeling, I'm not blank enough, I'm not thin enough, rich enough, beautiful enough, smart enough, promoted enough. The thing that underpinned this was excruciating vulnerability. This idea of, in order for connection to happen, we have to allow ourselves to be seen, really seen. This may be one of the most important things that I've ever learned in the decade of doing this research. My 1 year has turned into 6 years, thousands of stories, hundreds of long interviews, focus groups. At one point, people were sending me journal pages and sending me their stories, thousands of pieces of data and 6 years. And I kind of got a handle on it. I kind of understood this is what shame is. This is how it works. I wrote a book. I published a theory, but something was not okay. And what it was is that if I roughly took the people I interviewed and divided them into people who really have a sense of worthiness, that's what this comes down to, a sense of worthiness. They have a strong sense of love and belonging. And folks who struggle for it, and folks who are always wondering if they're good enough. There was only one variable that separated the people who have a strong sense of love and belonging and the people who really struggle for it. And that was the people who have a strong sense of love and belonging believe they're worthy of love and belonging. That's it. They believe they're worthy. So what I did is I took all of the interviews where I saw worthiness, where I saw people living that way, and just looked at those. What do these people have in common? And I have a slight office supply addiction, but that's another talk. So I had a manila notebook, a manila folder, and I had a Sharpie. And I was like, what am I going to call this research? And the first words that came to my mind were wholehearted. These are kind of wholehearted people living from this deep sense of worthiness. So I wrote at the top of the manila folder. And I started looking at the data. In fact, I did it first in this very four-day very intensive data analysis where I went back, pulled these interviews, pulled the stories, pulled the incidents. What's the theme? What's the pattern? My husband left town with the kids because I always go into this kind of Jackson Pollock crazy thing where I'm just like writing and going and kind of just in my researcher mode. And so here's what I found. What they had in common was a sense of courage. And I want to separate courage and bravery for you for a minute. Courage, the original definition of courage, when it first came into the English language, it's from the Latin word cur, meaning heart. And the original definition was to tell the story of who you are with your whole heart. And so these folks had, very simply, the courage to be imperfect. They had the compassion to be kind to themselves first and then to others, because as it turns out, we can't practice compassion with other people if we can't treat ourselves kindly. And the last was they had connection, and this was the hard part, as a result of authenticity. They were willing to let go of who they thought they should be in order to be who they were, which is, you have to absolutely do that for connection. The other thing that they had in common was this. They fully embraced vulnerability. They believed that what made them vulnerable made them beautiful.
I know that was a lot, and there's more in that video if you want to check it out. It's crazy awesome. Oh, by the way, she wasn't a Christian when she started this study, but she became one later on. Isn't that amazing? Wholeheartedness, connection, feeling of belonging. This is church language that she's using, and she was not even in the church. She goes on to tell that she had this like emotional breakdown that she had to go through with this therapist because she realized that she struggles with shame and fear and all this. It's just amazing. Anyways, there is so much good stuff in there, so much meat. Yeah, the power of vulnerability, to be yourself, to be who you are, to be who God created you to be. To be Kevin Matthew Salinas, that's who I am, that's who God created me to be. It's okay to show your ugliness, because we all have some of it in there. So family connection is very important in the Bible. Here we see Jesus telling people in Matthew 12, 46 through 50, he says this, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. He replied to him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mothers and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So family was a very important thing to Jesus. Jesus says, you are part of my family. You, whoever does the will of my Father is my brother and mother and sister. So you are created for family. From the beginning of time, God created human beings to be a part of a family. That's what you're created to be, connected. Because God doesn't measure your worth based on your ability, but based on your identity. We have been adopted by God. We are children of God. We are his beloved bride. In Ephesians 1:5, it says, God decided in advance to adopt you into his family by bringing you to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. You have permission to be a child. You can be like a child. You've been adopted to be his son, his daughter. It's okay to be you. You don't have to act like you have it all together. A child just doesn't care. Their imperfections is what make them so beautiful. We bring them to the world and we try to perfect them as soon as they're born. But that's not our job, to perfect them. Our job is to love them for who they are and see their uniqueness and to try to bring them to that point where they can be free and be themselves. A child is so innocent that they're willing to be like, you know, as us as adults, we're like, oh yeah, I'm fine, I got it all together. Everything's good, everything's cool. Because we don't let people into our lives, you know, because they're like, how was your week? Oh, great. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's like, and then like you have a child standing next to you and they're like, you know, like, dad, there's an elephant. Dad. They see the elephant in the room, don't they? And they're willing to tell people about it. They're like, no, you didn't, Dad. You had a horrible week. I don't see no elephant in the room, but they're willing to see that elephant in the room, and they're willing to point that thing out, aren't they? A child will do that. Which is sometimes when an adult does that to you, and they say, no, I know you're not all right, and you're like, you clam up. You know what I mean? Because you don't want to tell people what's wrong. You don't want to tell people what you're struggling with. But God says, you are adopted. You are a child of mine. You are brought into my family. You are a co-heir of Christ. Romans 8, 17 says, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. That's good. We are co-heirs. That means the people sitting next to you are co-heirs in Christ as well, right? Because they're your brothers and sisters, right? I don't think this is an analogy. I think God's for real about this. I think literally we are brothers and sisters. You know, we say that. We say like, hey, brother, what's going on? Like, literally, we're brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers. He brought us into his family. It wasn't just like, you know, just a story just to make you guys feel good. It was for all of us to understand that there's a deeper, meaningful relationship that God has with each other, the family of God. We are family. So we all go through hard times. Some of us have a history of heartbreak and betrayal, especially when it comes to family. We carry scars from wounds that were caused from a long time ago. But I fully believe that every wound, every scar tells a story of who you are. There's no wound that God cannot heal. There's no scar that he cannot cover up. And every one of those tells a story. It's history. It's going to help you later on in your life to become the person that you are created to be. God is a good God, and we can trust in him. We remember feelings, though, throughout our lifetime. So we have wounds, and we have feelings. We have feelings of those times when we were wounded by people. And those things are hard to get rid of, and we try to just shove them down. And actually, research has shown that feelings are something that you can never forget. Even people who have Alzheimer's, the one thing they remember is how they felt. When they interact with people, they remember, oh, that's the person that made me feel like this. They made me feel happy. They made me feel sad. But they can't remember anything else, but apparently they can remember feelings. It was on the internet. Yeah. It was actually on a TED Talk. It was a really good TED Talk. I'm addicted to TED Talks, sorry. So we feel, we have emotion, and when we give those things to God, he can heal those things. He can change the way we feel. If there's something that you've been carrying for years, like bitterness, because somebody said something to you 25 years ago, we gotta give that up and give that to God, because that will keep you disconnected from the family. It'll keep you isolated. Shame, fear, it'll keep you away from people, because then you're going to always have this distance, because there was one time in your life where somebody hurt you, and you can't give that up. And you have to move beyond that and push through that, because his power, his love, is more powerful than any other thing that we can imagine. And he will change us. Robin Williams, you know, he passed away a while ago. That was a pretty tragic thing. He said this quote, I used to think that the worst thing in life was to end up alone. It's not. The worst thing in life is to end up with people who make you feel alone. The worst thing in life is to end up with people who make you feel alone. You hear stories all the time about a married couple that have been married for 30 years, but they felt like they were alone the whole time because there was no connection there. They just lived with each other, you know. You hear about the story of the guy that sat in the back row of the church and he ended up committing suicide, and you're like, I didn't even know he had a problem. But he sat in the back because he felt like he was alone, because nobody reached out to him and nobody loved him. Or vice versa, he didn't let people into his life. He didn't allow people to love him the way that he needed to be loved. Connection and family is important. I'm just going to keep repeating that. Connection and family is important. I have the gift of repetition. Awesome. Just repeat it. I could just repeat it the whole time. Let's see where I'm going here. Oh, man. You know, I was talking about that person sitting in the back row. Well, I could go a different route here. That, you know, that I remember when somebody valued me. I walked in the door wearing dog collars and chains and, you know, acting a little weird back in the day and trying to draw attention to myself because I was the middle child and I just wanted attention all the time because I was, you know, the middle child. Nobody ever likes me. And so, you know, you put on these things so people would get your attention. Anyways, I walked in the door and you know what? They didn't judge me here at Evangel. They didn't look down on me. They probably thought I was kind of weird, but back then I don't think so. Actually, I think I fit in just probably notice. But you know what? These guys, like the elders and stuff, they loved me for who I was. They saw value in me. They saw something in me, and they made me feel like I belong to a family. And that radically changed my life because I've been here ever since, and that was like 19 years ago or something like that. 20 maybe years ago. And I know it kind of sounds like cultish or something. Definitely, this is not... It's not that. They took me in the back room and said, okay, now if you take this, you know, they do the altar call sometimes, you know, and they're like, okay, if you raised your hand and you can just go in that back room and follow that guy. And it's like, no, I'm out of here. if they want to take in the back room, you better hit their head for the hills. I'm just kidding. Lord, forgive me. Anyways. Oh yeah. Where was I? Oh yeah. So the people accepted me for who I was. They valued me. They saw something in me that I did not see. And because of that reason, I was able to stick around and feel like I was loved and belonged and accepted and connected. And I've been connected ever since. And, you know, at one point they asked me to become an elder a few years back. And, like, honestly, the coolest thing about being elders is because I get to hang out with these guys. It's cool. I want to hang out and we just go out to eat and stuff. And sometimes we do something important. But for the most part... We just hang out and eat food. I'm like, dude, you can't go wrong with that, okay? Obviously. Something happened when I hit 40 years old, and like I thought for sure, okay, now I'm over the hill, so that means it's all downhill from here now, so it's easy going, right? Because I went up the hill, so now I'm get to go down the hill, and it's going to be easy, right? Right? Doesn't life get easier when you go downhill? Wait. No, things started happening, like my eyesight's going away, and... I have to pick out different t-shirts that cover my belly now. It's like, Nina's really good at pointing that one out. Thanks, honey. I love you. Oh, my goodness. I'm, like, way off track here. Okay, so it's important to love people. And so when they walk in this room, you know, we can reach out and just say, make them feel like they belong to something. There's a greater picture. It's the kingdom of heaven, you know. It's Jesus. He's like in this crowd, and he's like sees the one back there, and he's like, excuse me, I'm going to go back here because I know to minister to that person, you know? It's like, and that's cool because that's how we need to be, you know? We just love the unlovable, you know? And I'm sorry, but, you know, there is somewhere in the scripture where it does talk about where Jesus leaves y'all. He leaves all of y'all to go after that one that left. Oh, no. So he leaves you, the 99, to go after that one. And sometimes that's irritating, isn't it? Because we're like, hey, no, come back here, come back. And he's like, hold on, I got to go after this one. This one is so important to me that I'm going to go after that one. But well, you'll be okay, beloved. He'll be back. Don't worry. But that's how we need to be as the church. And sometimes that's annoying because it's like, well, why is Pastor Jeff spending so much time with so-and-so? Because he knows that that's the one that he needs to spend time with that week. Because he knows that that's the one that might mean the extra love and the extra care. You know, he's the shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And he watches over the flock. Amen. So we got to be watching for that one and reach out to people, even if they have a dog collar on. It's okay. They won't bite you. Maybe. Oh, yeah. So this is... You like that? It's just snow. Hey, that was actually out at Coal Creek. Where, oh, there you go. Out past your house. Okay, so the point of that is, oh yeah, trauma. We go through trauma in our lives. Trauma. Trauma is like this. It's explained like this. You're just doing life. You're walking along the street. You step out in the traffic. Bam! A truck hits you. That's trauma. You weren't expecting it. You didn't ask for it. It just hits you like a truck. Not that truck, hopefully. Please, Lord. But it's like, bam! It sneaks up on you. And then you're like, why, God, why? Why is this happening to me again? I can never get a break. And so what do? You run off and you hide. And you yell at God, and you get angry, and you get disconnected, and you get isolated, and you're like, don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Instead of reaching out to people, instead of asking people into your lives and saying, you know what, I'm going through a hard time. I got hit by a bus or a train or a truck. I need your help. I need you to walk with me through this situation in my life. I need you to be there when I with this struggle because it's too much for me to handle. But the enemy says, no, I'm going to put you in shame because it's your fault you got hit by that truck. You should have been watching where you were going. You shouldn't have stepped out in the traffic. You should have put your garbage out in time. Like Seb's calling in and saying, he missed me. I don't miss you unless it's not out. But I am getting old, so. But that's what we do. The enemy tries to condemn you. And what did we learn, brothers and sisters, about condemnation? There is no, what? For those who are in Christ Jesus. Don't condemn yourself when trauma hits your lives. Even if it is your fault, God will get you through it, but he won't get you through it alone. We need one another. We need brothers and sisters in Christ to walk through those situations in life. We need connection. We were created for connection. What did Brene Brown say? She says, the one thing I saw the difference was a vulnerability. The willingness to feel like you're worthy. You are worthy to be connected with others when you are vulnerable and you express who you are in Christ. This is who I am. I'm struggling. I got hit by a truck. I need help. Yeah, I'm preaching now. Whew. Hey, you got one of those towels I can have? One of those towels? Okay. Where was I? This is fun. I love doing this. I get so excited about these teachings, but I get so nervous. Okay, so we act like nothing's wrong. Scars. We all have our story. We have struggles and hardships. David says this in Psalms. He says, he rescued me because he delights in me. God delights in you, brothers and sisters. He likes you. Even though you had an affair like David did, or you killed somebody when you shouldn't have. He likes you. If you like David, that was extreme. Back up, okay. In David's life, he did those things, and he still felt like God delighted in him. Something was messed up with David. No, something was right with David. David had a heart connection with the living God. He knew that no matter what, every time he was to screw up, that God still delighted in him. He enjoyed him. God enjoys you, brothers and sisters. He created you in his image. He's proud of who you are, even though you have struggles in your lives. He enjoys you. He wants to be with you. He wants to speak to you. Patrick told us last week. He wants to spend time with you. We just have to take the time to do that. Just like we have to take the time to be a family. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes effort. It's hard. It's not easy. We complain. We gripe. Not me. I never complain. Look at her face over there. Let's see here. Where am I going? So, but the cool thing about every one of our testimonies is that we know that God is good, and he's good all the time. So every one of our testimonies, every trauma that we've gone through, we can look back and say, where is the fruit? Where is the good in that? Because there's definitely got to be something good in that. I don't feel like it in the moment, but there's going to be something good from it eventually, I know. But some people feel like they can never get out of that. You know, it's like always hardships coming, always difficulties coming. But in the midst of it, you have to be willing to say, God, you are good, and all that you do is good. And I trust in you all the time, even if it doesn't look like it in the moment. We can say, well, I don't think this is the job for me, because it's like really boring and miserable and horrible, and I have to get up and go to work every day. Or you can look at it and go, what an amazing thing that God's placed me here, because I can be a light in the darkness. I can be a voice for you. I can wake up every day and I can be the best worker in this place. You know? Instead of griping and moaning and complaining, we can turn around and say, God, you are good. Thank you. Thank you for this. There's something in this. I know. There's a reason why I'm here. There's got to be. Because you placed me here. He can turn your mess into a message, right? I can tell you guys that I walked in the door and you guys, and because they loved me, it changed my life. That's a message. That's my testimony. That he changed me. He changed me. He loved me. He brought me into the kingdom. You're a message. Your life is a message for others. And it's going to help when you're sitting down at a coffee shop with somebody who's just going through something that you've gone through. And you can say, I understand your pain. I've been there. You know, it's okay. I don't judge you. I don't condemn you. If you struggle with this thing, I understand. It's okay. We're not going to kick you out of the church. There's no membership club here. You know, God is still good. Don't worry. He's always good. He says, Jesus says this. He says, what father among you is, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Not even an earthly father would give their child a serpent instead of food, fish to eat. God is a good father. No matter what he gives us, it's going to be good. He's going to discipline us. He's going to take us through hard times. But that way the fruit can come. The fruit can come. He has to prune those areas. But he's a good father. We can trust in him that he's not going to give us a serpent. He's going to give us fish. Well, we could. He's not going to give us Taco Bell. He's going to give us steak from Ruth Chris. That's good stuff, man. Yeah, that's what he's going to give us. Because he's a good, good daddy. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know all things, and we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. We know it's going to work out. Revival is something that we pray for all the time. Revival is when you bring something that was dead back to life, to revive something. We start to numb things in our lives. We start to bury things in our lives. And those things start to die after a while. But God says, no, I'm going to revive them. I'm going to bring them back to life. Those things that you once were excited about, that you're no longer excited about, I'm going to revive that. We pray for revival. We pray for more. We pray for that thing that was once sleeping, that thing to come back to life. I used to prophesy over people, but I don't do that anymore because I got hurt. You can't do that. Let God revive those things that you put to death. I had a dream, but I was too scared to share it because I wasn't sure how people were going to react or respond when I shared it. So I don't do that anymore. He wants to bring those things back to life. Now is the hour that is so important in our lives that we are walking and listening to his voice in everything that we do. Because it's getting closer to the end, brothers and sisters, and you know that it's true. And if we're not hearing his voice and we're not listening to the shepherd and we're not being obedient, we're going to stand before him one day and he's going to say, I don't know who you are, right? Because we need to be a part of his family. So we need to be who we are created to be, because it's not even about us. It's so we can touch somebody else. It's about other people. But you're never going to be able to love other people until you love yourself, right? And so if you're condemning yourself, if you're walking in shame, if you're walking in fear, you can't love other people. When God says that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That's how God loves you. So that you can love your neighbor as yourself. So that you can love your neighbor with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen? So if you need something revived, I would ask him, Lord, revive that thing in my life that I once was walking out, once was living in, that I put to death. I want that thing back. Bring it back. When I was a child, when I ran up here every time there was an altar call because I just wanted to be close to Jesus as I could be. But now, because I'm an adult and I'm cool and I'm an advanced Christian, I'm a super saint, I don't want anybody to see me respond to an altar call because that would show weakness. I don't want to raise my hand when they say, does anybody in the room feel this or need this? Those moments are important. Nobody's going to judge you in this room. We are family. We are connected. You know, we try to run out the door as fast as we can when church gets over. At least I do sometimes. Because you don't want to talk to anybody because you got all this stuff going on. You know, the kids stressed you out today and you're like, oh, don't talk to me. But it's so important, those times of fellowship with one another. You can't numb the pain, because when you numb the pain, she goes on to say, Brene Brown, she says, when you numb the pain, the negative emotions, you also numb the positive ones as well. You can't choose one or the other. If you're numbing emotions, you're numbing all of them. Your joy is gone, right? You don't know what it's like to feel joyful anymore. You don't know what it's like to love anymore. Do you know? Because you don't know what it's like to feel love anymore. Because people have hurt you so bad and they've wronged you in the family. I'm not talking about out there. I'm talking about in here. The family, each other. And so that will affect our relationship with God. You can't just be me and Jesus. It's just me and Jesus. We're going out in the wilderness and that's where we're going to live forever. That's not what he wants you to do. There's times for that, but he wants us to be together. He wants us to be in unison and operating as a family so we can help each other, so we can drag each other along the way. In this race of life, he says, run this race with endurance. But we got to bring people with us. You know, we can't just take off running like, see ya. I'm way over here and you're over there. You know, we're walking this walk together. And it's a good walk. Like I said, though, it's hard sometimes. And it's hard to let people in your life. And it's hard to connect with others. This is the Lord's Prayer that he asked us to pray. His disciple says, what do we pray? And he says this. Listen closely as I read this, because there's something here. I got it highlighted. So, this is then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Our Father, give us today our daily bread. Not my Father, give me what I need for today. Give me what I want. So I can forgive others. So I won't be led into temptation. He says, no. Pray it like this. Us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us. Amen? That's Jesus. He said, pray this prayer. Us, our Father. When you use that language, it's so important. Because it's so easy to say, God, help me today to make it through this day. Help me as I go to work. Give me the things that I need. And he says, no, pray for your family. Pray that we would all have what we need today. Amen? It's about our Father in heaven. He says this also. When there are two or more gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Something about two or more is important. He wants us to come together. I will be there when there's a group of you. When you guys come together, I will be there. When two or more gathered, I will be there in the midst of them. We are created for families, brothers and sisters. We need connection with one another. We need to be in one accord. Yeah, one Honda Accord. We had a Honda Accord when we were kids. It was terrible. There's three of us in the back seat of a Honda Accord. And one year we went on a vacation to California. Did I tell you this story? I probably did. I'm going to tell it again. We went to California and we drove down the coast, you know. And it was horrible because we were like, my mom and dad loved it, but we didn't like it. Because we were sitting in this back seat of this little tiny Honda Accord, like, you know, elbowing each other the whole time, you know. But for some reason, it's very important that we are in one accord because we're going to annoy each other. We're going to get on each other's nerves with our brothers and sisters, right? And then, like, my mom's, like, got this bananas, you know. She, like, gives us these bananas. I think I did tell you this story, whatever. So we eat the bananas, right, on the trip here. And my brother gets really sick, and he, like, throws up bananas everywhere. So then my sister starts throwing up, and then I start throwing up because you can't stand the smell of vomit, you know, in the car. We're all in this little tiny car. My dad's like, I'm not stopping. I'm not pulling over. We got a schedule to make here. We're on track. So he ends up pulling over. Well, no, so we are throwing up bananas. My mom cleans it up on these napkins or something. And she tosses out the window. I don't know why, but there was a truck driver behind us. And apparently didn't like that. And he got behind us, flashing his lights, pulled us over. And my dad got out of the car. We're sitting there watching out the window. And I don't know what he said, but he said some words to him about throwing stuff out the window. But anyways, what the heck? Okay, so anyways, yeah. We all have a banana story in the church, right, with family. We all have those moments where we're like, dude, that was horrible. And we all can remember those past experiences. But, you know, and for years, I couldn't eat bananas. You know, it's like I just couldn't even stand the smell of bananas because it's like that's all I remember. It's banana puke, banana vomit. But one day I tried a banana, and you know what? They're pretty darn good. So that's my point is, you know, those things that we remember that are painful and we try them again later on in life, we might actually like it. It might actually be a good thing. So, yeah. Courage. Courage, like she said, is the root word for courage. The Latin word for heart is the Latin word for heart. The word courage meant to tell the story of who you are with your whole heart. Do you have the courage to be imperfect, beloved? Can you get up and tell people about a vomit story? Can you be who you were created to be? The Bible says to encourage one another. And to encourage one another means to put courage into someone. That's how you encourage one another. To put courage in them. Dan's really good about that. Dan will come up to me and just like, pound me with courage, man. He has a word for me, and it just like, I walk out and I think about a thing all week. And all he does is being obedient about telling somebody something. And the courage that he puts in me is powerful, man. And it's so good. And he's a good man. Good to know him. So this is cool. How do I know this stuff? How do I know that how God feels about me? Because Jesus prays this prayer. We all know this prayer in John 17. I'm not going to read the whole thing. He says this, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and I have loved them even as you have loved me. You get it? Wait a minute. Check it out. Check this out. God loves you, Patrick. God loves you as much as he loves his son, Jesus. Bam. Yeah. Hallelujah. God loves you as much as he loves his son, Jesus. That's how much love he has for you. You can walk in power and courage and knowing who you are because you are the child of God and you are loved as much as he loves his son, Jesus. Because of who you are. Because he created you. That's powerful. Stop thinking that nobody loves you, because God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. And that's an awful lot of love, all right? Live it. Walk in courage to be who you are. It's okay. Jesus prayed. He said, love them. Show them the love that I have for you. May it be in them as well. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, dude, check this out. So I'm running out of time, huh? So I went through this series of stuff in my life just recently. That's the only reason why I'm talking about this. Come on, right? We talk about what we go through. That's why we're up here, to tell you about our lives. So, yeah, so I was kind of like going through some stuff a while back, and I was struggling with some fear stuff. And one day I grabbed Jeff Beck back here, and I said, dude, will you pray for me? And I don't do that because I'm scared to do that. Like, I don't tell people that. I'll tell my wife, but. So Jeff Beck looks at me, and he says, for what? And I said, for fear. And he starts bawling. He's like, dude, I knew it. God's been putting that on my heart. I knew it. And I start crying, and he prays for me. And it was like weird, because I was like, I don't do this stuff, man. This is like really uncomfortable for me. But it was like so needed. And we walk out in the parking lot after church later, and him and Janelle, he's like, dude, we're going to pray for you again. So they pray for me again. They make me do this stuff, and I had to walk through this and give this stuff up. And I'm like, this is really awkward in the parking lot, and there's... But you know what? It went. And it was gone. I was seriously, it was powerful. I was going through so much fear and anxiety in my life at that moment, because a lot of stuff was going on that I couldn't barely function. I just like, all the time, because I just had this fear and anxiety going on. And it left. It left me. And I text Jeff, and I was like, dude, I think it's gone. And so, you know what's funny is, like, and there was this process that took place, and Jenna came, and she spoke some stuff over me and about my identity, and I had my driver's license for years, and I found out that I was spelling my middle name wrong. And God's like, you don't even know who you are. You're living under an alias. And so I got a thing in the mail, and I have a CDL, and they're like, you have to prove your U.S. citizenship to keep your CDL. And I had to renew my license, so I was like, oh, crap. My birth certificate says 2 T's in my middle name, and my driver's license says 1 T. They're going to deport me. I'm like, I'm not a U.S. citizen, apparently. But I knew for a while, and I was so scared, because I was like, this is so crazy. I don't even know who I am. I'm not even walking my own identity. I'm living somebody else's life because I have somebody else's driver's license. And Nina's like, you're so weird. It's just one letter. Calm down. But this was like, there was a series of things that went on, and that I was struggling with and just having anxiety about. Like literally, like tormenting anxiety. And like, so I thought I was going to lose my job. I thought I was going to go sit to Mexico. Not that I came from Mexico, but my family came from Mexico, though. But anyway, so, yeah. Oh, yeah, what happened? So I kept praying. And so the fear was gone. And I went and got my driver's license, and the guy just said, okay, no problem. We'll change that. Bam. I'm like, seriously? I like ran out the door. I'm like, I sat in the truck, and I called Nina. I'm like, they didn't even ask anything about it. No problems. It just switched right over. I still have a job, honey. But then this feeling came over me, and the God said, you are finally Kevin Matthew Salinas, the person I created you to be. You can be free to be you. And I was like, I can be free to be me. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I don't have to pretend that I'm somebody else, because I'm not. I'm me. I'm Kevin Matthew Salinas. And so Jenna was up here, and she was like speaking identity stuff for me. And she's like, what do you guys feel about this and that, da, 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 and speaking these words. And I grabbed Nina, and I said, I'm Kevin Matthew Salinas. And she's like, I'm like, no, seriously, I'm Kevin Matthew Salinas. That's who I am. That's God who created me to be. And I can be myself now, because I don't have to fear that I'm going to be sent to whatever. Okay, anyway, so I'm just going on in here. So... So check this out. So Dan's been speaking some stuff over me for a while, and this is really cool stuff. One time he said to me, he's like, you're a mighty man of valor. I'm like, what? Me? Mighty man of valor? So I went home and studied it about Gideon, and when the angel spoke to Gideon, how he was hiding, he didn't want to do the thing that he was called to do. And I'm like, oh, Dan, you know, that was cool. And then I researched, you know, valor means courage. And I'm like, and then I felt like the Lord said, you're a mighty man of courage. And I laughed because I'm like, I'm not a mighty man of courage. But apparently that's how God sees me. And so I can walk that out and be a man who is courageous in the eyes of God, even though if I don't feel courageous. Amen? I can be who I was called to be. I can be vulnerable and be myself around you people and not feel like I'm judged. Amen? And so you can do the same thing. The same thing for you. There was a time when Libby got up here. Do you remember Libby back here? Dan's Libby. She came up here and she had a word. I had a dream right before, and this is all taking place this whole time. I had a dream, and I woke up, and I told Nina about it. I said, I keep having this dream about Libby. Not her, Libby, but in my dream, I was kept meeting people named Libby. Like, oh, hi, my name is Libby. Hi, my name is Libby. Libby, 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 Libby. And I kept, I'm like, that's weird. I'm like, why? And I woke up, and I was telling her about it. I was like, that was really weird. I kept having these dreams about people named Libby. And I know that Libby's short for liberty, and I know that liberty means freedom. And so I kept meeting people, my dream named Liberty. She got up here, and she said, during worship one time, and she had a piece of paper or something, she got a word, she said this. I cried. She said, the devil knows your name, but he calls you by your sin. God knows your name. God knows your sin, but he calls you by your name. I'm Kevin Matthew Salinas. And then Lisa gets up here and says, do you know what Libby's short for? It's liberty, which means freedom. Freedom. God freed me from fear. And he's allowing me to be who I am. Because he says, you can be who you're called to be. Don't be afraid. Don't walk in shame. Take others along with you. You need to connect with others. You need to share your stories with others because they need to hear what you have. Amen? I told Libby today, I said, Libby, you know when you get up there that God's speaking to you and telling you these things, right? I said, there's been times where you got up and it was important to me. And so I said, keep doing that. I just want to encourage you in that because that was cool. Anyways, I could go on and on about, there was some more stuff that happened to me, but I don't know, this is not about me anyways, but it's about testimony of how good God is. And we remember that his goodness is always going to be good no matter what we think the outcome may be. Maybe I'll go some more. Let me think. So I had to have a hearing test at work. And one time I didn't pass it or whatever, not pass it, but I had to go get some ears cleaned out and things like that. But anyways, so I was nervous about that. I'm like, I get nervous about weird things. And so I go in there, and I felt like the Lord said, because this is after I felt free from stuff, and I felt like the Lord said, don't worry about it. So I'm like, cool, I'm not worried about it. And I wasn't even stressed about it. Went in there, did my hearing test. You walk out, she hands you your paper, she says, you have great hearing. I walked out of the trailer, and the Lord said, I told you, you have great hearing. You can hear me. And I'm like, whoa, I have great hearing. I can hear him. I can hear his voice. So apparently there was some kind of blockage going on in my life that I was not hearing him clearly. And he said, now you can hear me. I went and had to get my blood drawn. And the last time my blood pressure was high. And I was driving the truck and I had to go get my blood pressure. And you have to have it below a certain thing for your CDL and all that, whatever. And I went in there, I got my blood pressure. And well, before I got in there, God said, my blood runs through your veins. Jeff was up here the Sunday before and he said, I see this thing where somebody's drawing blood and something. Dude, God wants to speak to you. He wants to show you how good he is. It's like putting the pieces of the puzzle together. But if you're in isolation, if you're in disconnection, if you're not with family, you're not going to hear those things. You're not going to see those things. You're not going to get those things that God has for you. We need each other so much. We have to walk this walk together. It is so important. So I'm just going to end it with this. Well, first of all, he forgives your wickedness and your sins, and he will remember them no more, Hebrews 8. He will remember your sins no more. We have to stop remembering them because he doesn't remember them. He's forgotten them. He's cast them as far as east from the west. No matter what you did, he doesn't remember them. We can't condemn ourselves and go in hiding. So, cool. That was awesome. This is I'm going to end it right here. So this, okay, ready? The experience of intimacy, of being completely known and accepted, and completely knowing and accepting in return, is the most satisfying experience we can have as humans. The experience of intimacy, of being completely known and accepted, and completely knowing and accepting in return. That's important. You got to know who you are and accept yourself, but you also have to accept your neighbor and know your neighbor and love your neighbor. It is the most satisfying experience we can have as humans. Because then the fear is gone. The shame's gone. The condemnation's gone. And you can be who you are, who you were created to be. And it's the most satisfying experience you could ever have. So, beloved, want to love one another. Get connected. There's many ways to do that around here. Literally, like, we have things going on all the time. You can get plugged into Bible studies. You can get plugged into Tuesday night's things. You can come down to Tri-Hop. You can be involved. Just, dude, they're awesome. The last one went to what, Chinese Garden? We do business. Really? Anyways, yeah, so yeah, but that stuff like that, that's what I'm talking about. You know, when we have open houses, showing up and just saying, you know what, I'm just here just to support you, Marie, or Carrie Beth, or whoever's house it is that week. You know, when we do, you know, like church camp, that's a huge one. Church camp is huge because it's that time where you can just be not in a building, but you're out and just hanging out with people. There's connections that you make every time you reach out and you are involved in that kind of stuff. So, yeah, get connected, man. It's good. All right. Father, I just thank you for this morning and these kids and this place, Lord, and the willingness to just be ourselves, God. The vulnerability that makes you beautiful. Yeah, vulnerability makes you beautiful. I just want to tell you this morning that you guys are valued, you're beautiful, and you're awesome. And we thank you, Lord, that you see us that way. You see us as children. You see us as you've adopted us. You've given us a home. You've given us a place to be ourselves, God. I just thank you for that, Father. And I pray that if anybody in this room is going through trauma right now, that you would put people in their lives that will help them walk through that, God. That you would keep them from disconnection and isolation, but you would bring them together in unity with one another, Lord. God, I thank you for this moment that we can do this together, Lord. I'm so glad I don't have to do it alone, because I couldn't do it alone, Lord. Because you are good, and I trust you, and I know that you're good. And I thank you, Father. Thank you. And the children, Lord, the children that come out of that room and they're prophesying over us, God. I just thank you for that. It's huge. Thank you that we can be willing to accept even from a child, Lord. Keep our hearts open. Heal the scars. Heal the wounds. Let us be us, Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you all. Y'all.